Welcome to the Shoe Swamp Audio Tour. This tour will guide you along the trails of the Frank T. Church Nature Preserve, locally known as Shoe Swamp. Along the way, you will learn about the natural and human history of this wondrous place. We will also offer some nature awareness skills that help us to use the earth as a role model for building empathy and a sense of belonging in the other-than-human world and in our own communities. Shoe Swamp is part of the North Shore Sanctuary Preserve System. Our mission is to preserve or to aid in the preservation of all types of wildlife, including natural areas, flora and fauna, and biotic communities, to establish nature reserves to be used for scientific, educational, and aesthetic purposes, to promote education in the fields of nature preservation and conservation. The lands and waters of Shoe Swamp were first put under protection in the 1930s. The name Shoe Swamp comes from the old Dutch word shoe, meaning cascading waters. Some reminders: there is poison ivy along portions of the trail, as well as ticks. Stay on the trail and do a tick check when you return. Dogs are not allowed in the preserve. Please do not feed the fish or any other animals. Carry out whatever you carry in. We are guests of nature. Behave. Here's how the walk will work. Walk at your own pace and spend as much time as you want at each stop. At each stop, I will share some information about Shoe Swamp and some questions for you to consider. This will be followed by directions to the next stop on the tour. Put the tour on pause until you arrive, then press play. The trail is about 1 mile long. Let's get started. Begin on the trail furthest to the right from the information kiosk. The trail will take you on a slight downhill along the Long Island Railroad tracks. After about 100 yards, you will come to a bridge over the pond. This will be our first stop. Press pause and restart the tour when you arrive at the bridge. This pond is home to a wide diversity of living beings. We use the words living being with intention. Phrases such as living thing or it imply that all these other lives are just commodities or resources. Would you want to be called a thing or an it? Snapping turtles, carp, herons, red-winged blackbirds, song sparrows, and bullfrogs are just some of the living beings that can be found here. The tall reeds are called phragmites, and the predominant trees across the pond are red maple. At the far end of the bridge, you will see a patch of native cattails, an important food source for wildlife. If you turn to the right, what is thought to be the tallest tulip tree in New York State towers over the forest. Beaver Brook enters at the far side of the pond, carrying water from the surrounding land that will flow into Beaver Dam Pond, then into Millnet Creek, to Oyster Bay, and into the Long Island Sound. This watershed reminds us of the connection between land and water. There are fish that live in both the sound and the stream. What happens on the land flows into the forest. It's all connected. Let's practice our first nature awareness skill, attentiveness. Be silent and still. Take a few deep breaths. Listen, look, smell, feel. Stay still for a few minutes. Do not limit yourself to the question, what did I see? Ask yourself, what did I observe? To remind yourself to use all your senses in being attentive. Take a moment, press pause until you're ready to continue. Welcome back. Reflect on this experience. How can attentiveness help you experience more of Shoe Swamp? How can attentiveness help you experience more in other aspects of your life? To reach our next stop, continue across the bridge and re-enter the forest. In the spring and summer, the moist areas are full of skunk cabbage, cinnamon ferns, and New York ferns. Follow the path to the left. Along the hillside are tulip and oak trees. When you come to the big oak tree on the right side of the path, you have arrived at stop number 2. Press pause now and restart the tour when you arrive at the big tree. Welcome back. Let's pause for a moment of attentiveness. It is important to remember we were not the first people here. For thousands of years before European contact, the Matinecock and other indigenous people made Long Island their home. The land and waters provided them with food, shelter, clothes, medicine, tools, jewelry, and toys, and everything else they needed. For example, these tulip trees were made into dugout canoes. Using fire and stone tools, the trees were felled and the centers dug out. The canoes were used for fishing and even hunting whales. The bark was used for the walls of wigwams. Acorns from the oak trees were used to make flour. They enjoyed a thriving culture until war, disease, and displacement by the settlers drove them from their land. Indigenous people still live on Long Island and are a vibrant part of our community. Let's take some time to practice the next nature awareness skill by using our sense of wonder. There are two ways we can use our sense of wonder. Become aware of the wow in what is around you. What amazes you here? The way the light reflects off leaves, then an acorn can grow into a 200-year-old tree that stands 150 feet high. The song of a bird, the sensation of the wind, or the flight of a butterfly. Being aware of the wonder leads to awe. Experiencing awe helps us to realize we are part of something bigger than ourselves. The second way to use your sense of wonder is to be curious and ask questions. You don't always need the answer. Keep wondering. What questions arise for you in this spot? What is wowing you? We call this wonderfuling. How can using your sense of wonder help you strengthen your connections to this place and wild nature everywhere? How can seeing the wonder in others and asking questions with good intent help us to build community and empathy? How can seeing wonder in ourselves help to build resilience in ourselves? To reach our next stop, continue down the path. In about 100 yards, you will come to a trail junction. Make the left turn and stop at the fallen log. Press pause and restart the tour when you arrive at the fallen log. Welcome back. Take a moment for some attentiveness and wonderfuling. Press pause until you are ready to continue. A few steps back, you will see a tulip tree with three trunks, one of which is beginning to rot at the base. Insects, pathogens, and arthropods and fungi have weakened the tree. It will fall, just like the one on the trail did during Superstorm Sandy in 2012. Over time, the fallen tree will break down and become part of the soil. Find the log that has almost completely decomposed in the soil. Perhaps a squirrel will bury an acorn there, and a new tree will grow from the old tree. A bird will make its nest in the tree. A mouse will find shelter and protection from a screech owl on the hunt. One action leads to another in a cascade of interrelationships. Juice Swamp is not a collection of separate living beings. When you look around, see this place as a web of connections that affect one another. Juice Swamp is part of a greater ecosystem with connections that spread further. We are part of these connections and interrelationships. Paying attention will help you become more aware of the connections and interrelationships here and in our human communities. Just as every part of Shoe Swamp affects another, we impact each other by our actions and non-actions. What you do matters. What are some of the interrelationships you observe here and in your human communities? How does one action lead to another? What can you do to make them positive? Onward we go. Continue along the trail. At the next trail junction, bear to the right. After a series of bridges, stop at the second trail junction where a tree grows in the middle of the path. Stop there and restart the trail. As you walk over the series of small bridges, notice how the plant communities change as the soil moisture increases. Swamp azaleas are thriving. In the spring and summer, forget-me-nots and iris grow in the wetter areas. Along the trail edges, clumps of sphagnum moss grow. Early settlers and indigenous communities used it to pack wounds and sores. The moss is highly absorbent, able to hold up to 20 times its weight in fluids, and has natural acids that help in fight of infection. We'll see you at the next stop. Welcome back. If you continue straight over the bridge, the parking lot is about 100 yards ahead. The audio trail turns right as we follow Beaver Brook upstream. Walk a few yards and stop. Just a few years ago, this was the main branch of Beaver Brook. After a storm brought floodwaters down the stream, debris shifted the water's path. Plants grew in and filled what was once the stream. Shoe Swamp is a dynamic, ever-changing place over a variety of time scales. There are millions of years of geologic time, there is tree time, and human time. What you see here now is a snapshot of this moment. By paying attention to the changes, we can learn to be better stewards of this place. Shoe Swamp's value is beyond measure. We gain health, social, and spiritual benefits from visiting Shoe Swamp. We benefit from the ecological impacts. The water, land, and life here help prevent nitrogen overload in Long Island Sound. The fresh water helps provide nutrients for the salt marshes that protect the shoreline from flooding. Rain and snow recharge our drinking water rather than wash it into the sound. The trees help regulate temperature and carbon dioxide levels. The preserve is home to animals year-round and serves as a key stopover for birds during migration. Follow the path along Beaver Brook until you arrive at a cement bridge. Press pause and restart the audio tour when you arrive at the bridge. Let's take a moment of attentiveness and wonderfuling. Press pause and restart when you are ready. You are now standing on what was once a through road, but was blocked off. Since then, wild nature has reclaimed the land. It is an example of the Earth's restorative power. There are other examples of Earth's restoration here. Otters have returned to Long Island. They leave trails in the snow and piles of fish scales on the stream side. If you're very lucky, being in the right place in the right time, you may even see one. Ospreys have returned to the Shoe Swamp ecosystem. Efforts are being made to restore the native brook trout. Ravens and pileated woodpeckers can even be seen on occasion. Deer have returned. Deer were once virtually extinct in New York. That is no longer the case. The deer in Shoe Swamp have become accustomed to people, and they are overpopulating the area. How best to manage this situation is an important conversation to have. To have that conversation, we need to truly know this place. Biodiversity is the number of different species in a given area. The biodiversity of an ecosystem is an indicator of the system's resilience. The more biodiversity, the better able the ecosystem is to handle an impact. There is diversity all around us. Look around. How many different plants do you see? Different colors, shapes, and sounds. Observe the diversity of diversity. The same is true for us, both in our own communities and within ourselves. A diverse skill set can make you a more valuable team member. Diverse skills make our communities more resilient and more successful. The trail continues, following the stream until you arrive at the bridge crossing Beaver Brook. There are two benches next to the bridge. Press pause now and restart the audio tour when you arrive at the benches. Welcome back. If you had continued straight, the trail ahead leads to the Humes Preserve. It's a wonderful place. You should check it out sometime. Let's share some attentiveness and wonderfuling. Press pause and restart when you are ready. Look around. What patterns do you observe? Patterns in shapes, colors, movement, sound, time. The other than human world is full of patterns. Not only are they beautiful, but patterns can take us back in time, predict the future, and explain the present. They help us understand and organize the world around us. Patterns in tree bark can help us identify which tree is which. Can you find each of these tree species? Tulip tree have very straight trunks with bark that is dark gray to brownish gray, thick and deeply grooved with interlacing ridges that create a diamond and braided pattern. Hop hornbeam. The trunks of these trees both feel and look like muscles, which is why it is sometimes called muscle wood. Red maples. These trees have bumps growing up the length of the trunk. Can you find one of each tree right around here? How can seeing patterns in our lives help us understand what is working well and what is not? Our next stop takes us across the small cement bridge. Be careful and follow the trail until you come to the triple trunk tulip tree, not the double trunk tulip tree. Press pause now, and when you arrive at the tree, resume the audio tour. Welcome back. Be careful. That hairy-looking vine growing up the tree is poison ivy. The hairs attached to the tree, allowing poison ivy to climb higher and get more sunlight. The most likely cause of a tulip tree to have multiple trunks is that the tree was cut down at some point in the past and new trees sprouted from the stump. We can estimate when this happened by the size of the tree trunks. The age of the base tells us when the tree first began to grow. I would estimate this tree was cut down about 100 years ago, and the stump was from a tree growing 250 years old. Imagine what this tree has witnessed. Another interesting tree growing in Shoe Swamp is the big leaf magnolia. Look around. Not only does the big leaf magnolia have the biggest leaves of any North American tree, it also has the biggest flowers. As the climate has warmed, its range has expanded north. These trees are being spread throughout the preserve by a mutualistic relationship with many bird species. The fruits are filled of what birds love, and in return, the birds deposit the seeds in various places. This is just one of the countless examples of two living beings having a relationship that benefits both of them. Under your feet, the mycorrhizal fungus grows on tree roots. The fungal threads help the tree gather minerals and water. In return, the tree provides fungus with sugar and carbohydrates. In fact, maybe we should think of this as the trees growing on the fungus instead of the fungus growing on the trees. Scientists have recently been discovering more and more ways that trees cooperate with each other. They share water and nutrients through their connected roots. They release chemicals into the air that warn other trees when harmful insects are attacking their leaves. We can be inspired by these role models of cooperation. What can you offer others? What can you do to have more mutualistic relationships? To reach our next stop, you pass a tree with a unique bark pattern that looks like a jigsaw puzzle. This is a tupelo tree. These slow-growing trees are thought to be the oldest in the preserve, estimated at over 300 years. Continue along the path. As you get closer to the road, you will see porcelainberry, bittersweet, and other introduced vines covering the trees. As these vines block sunlight, the trees underneath will not survive. When the trail crosses the old road, continue along the fence line and stop at the big boulder on the left side of the path between the two wooden bridges. Pause now and restart when you arrive at the boulder.
These large boulders are called glacial erratics. There are many of them scattered across Long Island. They were pushed from places far north during the ice ages as the glaciers moved south like giant snowplows. When the glaciers melted back, these boulders were left behind. Now, lichens, moss, frost action, and plant roots are slowly weathering the rock, breaking it down, and becoming part of the soil. The entire landmass that is now Long Island was formed after the last glacier retreated and left behind rocks, sand, and minerals about 15,000 years ago. Erosion carried the sand away, creating the landscape south of the Long Island Expressway. The glaciers gave Long Island the hills and pebble beaches of the North Shore and the flatlands and sand beaches of the South Shore. Plants, animals, and people soon followed. You and I are all part of the Shoe Swamp story. We are part of nature. We can't not be a part. We are not at the end of the story. What will happen next depends on us. What can you do to help the story continue? Follow the path, and when you arrive at the grassy area, we will be at our last and final stop. Press pause and restart when you get to the field. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us on the Shoe Swamp Audio Trail. Please feel free to visit again. Before you leave, take a moment of attentiveness, wonderfuling, and pattern seeking. These nature awareness skills can be practiced anytime in any outdoor space. Remember, the earth is our greatest role model. You can support the North Shore Wildlife Sanctuaries by becoming a member. Use the QR code at the kiosk. Feel free to contact us with questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. If you are interested in other programs at the North Shore Wildlife Sanctuary, you can email me at kreisbergdan@gmail.com. That's kreisbergdan@gmail.com. Take care and enjoy the outdoors. Don't forget to do a tick check.